Again, we have this teaching of James, which is very important. You see, Paul is looking for something else. Faith. You see, we are justified by faith. But a faith that doesn't produce works is a dead faith. James, seeing that some people are abusing Paul's principle, goes at it from the other angle. This happens, right? People can have a very nice experience and consider that everything's fine, but then never do anything. And that's not fine. And that's what he's talking about here. He's a strong teacher, isn't he? What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear, no food for the day, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat well, but you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? So, also faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Because faith is dynamic. Faith is a living knowledge of God. It's not just I subscribe to these formulae, so I'm doing great. No. You know, it's a living reality that moves us. It moved us to come here early this chilly morning to worship the Lord, to hear his word, and to receive his body and blood. That's why we're here. I'm not saying every one of us had a mystical experience to bring us here. You know, we go every morning, so here we are. Cold or not, we're going to be here. But it's still faith acting. And that's the point he makes there. And then, you see, someone might say, you have faith and I have works. Demonstrate your faith to me without works, and I will demonstrate my faith to you from my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe that and tremble. And he goes on. And this, as you know, is a strong message of the letter of James. He's not against Paul, but he's against people who take Paul to mean, I've had a warm, fuzzy, I believe I'm saved. And then despise your brother and sister. He's saying, that's not faith. Faith has to produce something. Now, in this text, in the gospel, we have another dimension of this. You notice how this time of year, nearly all the readings are telling us about practicing our faith. See, it'll end soon, and then we'll start again the whole liturgical year. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. So he's offering us this risk. Do you believe me that I'm the Son of God? Do you believe that I died on the cross for you? And I've opened up the way to eternal life for you? Well, then do what I teach you. Listen to my spirit in your heart, moving you to forgive, to care for the poor, to pray for the world, and all the other things. And so, you see, for what is profit is there for someone to gain the whole world and lose his life? And what could one give in exchange for his life? And then it comes, whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this faithless and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels. Now that's for us, right? And what about the last lines of this text today? Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come in power. That's a prophecy, right? When was it fulfilled? Was it fulfilled? Here's the Son of God saying, some here are not going to die until they see the kingdom of God come in power. When did that happen? Pentecost, right?
Yeah.
Everyone, you got it. Great. But before Pentecost to come, there has to be the forgiveness of the human race through the blood of Christ. Otherwise, there's nobody there able to receive the Holy Spirit. It reminds me of when the renewal breaks out in some places, it's very dramatic. I'm thinking of Africa right now. And I think it wasn't the Congo, I think it was, anyway, a friend of mine, a German, was there running this school for evangelization. Wonderful man, a white father. And all of a sudden, the renewal just took over. Everybody started to pray in tongues and praise God just because the Holy Spirit poured it out. And a friend of his, an African priest, was the rector of the cathedral. And one Sunday, when the whole cathedral was full, and he stood up to preach, the Holy Spirit just came, just like Pentecost. They were all filled with joy and praise and sang. And now, if that's the best way for us to come to the Lord, he'll give us that. But so far, he says the best way is for you to go out and evangelize. Talk to people. Win them over. Start with your relatives. Oh, gosh, if I start that at the next Thanksgiving or whatever, you know. Well, pray for wisdom. The fact that I'm a priest doesn't mean that all my relatives think I'm great, you know. They don't. But we've got to help them.